Begin the current daf, Masechtas Ksubos, daf Lamed Zayin. Begin on the bottom line of daf Lamed Vav Mabez, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. And that is, the Mishnah had quoted Machlokes regarding a woman that was a Shvuya, Sheniftis, over the age of 3, if such a woman was violated or seduced, if she gets the Knas or not. Tanakama says no, because over the age of 3, when her Besulim do not come back, she was in the domain of the non-Jewish captors, which we can assume that they had violated her. Hence, she's not a besul anymore. And the besulim don't come back over the age of 3. Therefore, she doesn't get a knas. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, shvuya sheniftis harehi b'kdushasa. She maintains her sanctity. And even though she was a gdela, she, if she subsequently gets violated by another man or seduced, she will get the knas. Now, Rabbi Yehuda explained, and as Tais explains, all these Gemara's kashas are going on Rabbi Yehuda, not on Rabbah, that Rabbi Daisa and Rabbi Yehuda are saying the same thing. And they both assume that a woman that was taken as a captive was not violated. Rather, there were inappropriate things that they did to her, but she still has the chazaka that she's a basula. So therefore, the Gemara has asked questions, or continues asking questions, where we find other places where Rabbi Yehuda does not assume that a woman that was a captive is still a basula. As the Gemara says, Ramele Rav Papa Bar Shmuel Rav Yosef. He has the following contradiction to Rav Yosef. B'savar Rabbi Yehuda b'kdushasakam, as we continue at top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Is it really true that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a woman maintains her sanctity in captivity? That is, we assume that she was not violated. But Vatani learned the Braisa that says, Hagiyarish and Nisgayro, regarding a female convert that converted, Verasa Dam, and the day that she converts, she sees Dam from Oisimakim. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Aimram, Yehuda says, Dayashaita, this menstrual blood that she has, is what's called, Dayashaita literally means to say that the moment that it's seen is enough. What that means to say is that now she's a Nida. From here on, until she purifies herself, now that she's a Jewish woman, she becomes Tami Nida, until she purifies herself, culminating in the Tefillah and the Mikvah, everything that she touches will be Tami. However, the Chiddush of what Rabbi Yehuda is saying is that there is no Gezerah of what's called Tama Me'es Li'es, which is that by a regular Jewish woman, when she sees Dam, we assume that it didn't just happen right now when it came out. It was there in the Kaisle Beis HaRechem, it was in the vaginal wall. We just didn't see it. But she was already in Nida. It already came out from the womb where the blood emanates from. So on that, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that this woman that was Megayer, that converted today, and sometime today she sees Dam, we don't make this 24-hour retroactive tumor, which is called Me'es Li'es. For the last 24 hours, which a regular Jewish woman, we say that we assume that sometime in the last 24 hours, she already came out. Hence, a regular Jewish woman would transmit Tumah to anything she touched in the last 24 hours. Here, we do not say that whatever it was from when she immersed in the mikvah to becoming a Jewish woman until when she actually saw the blood, we don't say. Now, that's in spite of the fact that we could say that maybe it really came out yesterday, as we said regarding a regular Jewish woman that was already there in the Kaisle Beis HaRechem, which is by a regular Jewish woman. Here, the reason is because 24 hours ago, she was a non-Jewish woman. Her blood is like the blood of an animal. In other words, it doesn't transmit Tumah even if she's menstruating. That's just a law for Jewish women. And therefore, it doesn't apply to say that it goes in the last 24 hours. Now, as Rashi explains, but then the question would be, okay, fine, don't go back 24 hours when she was a non-Jewish woman, but say that maybe when she, after she did the tefillah in the mikveh and she became a Jewish woman, maybe that's when she started seeing the dam. So it was already blood of a Jewish woman, not of a non-Jewish woman. So that Rashi explains, and this is what he's explained to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, that retroactive tumah is a rabbinic decree. Now, where you can do what's called me'es li'es, a full 24-hour concern, a gezerah of being metameh, so then you'll do it even what's called from pekida to pekida, which is a related rabbinic concern, which is from the last time we checked, there was no dam. Now we check and there is dam. So we know that from then, there before that there wasn't, but from then on we're not sure about. So from this time that we check and we see dam, it goes back to the last time that we checked that there wasn't dam. Now, we're not going to do it coming out of the mikvah, because if we cannot do the gzera of me'es li'es, we're not going to do the gzera of pekida l'pekida. That's Rabbi Yehuda holds. And here, you can't go 24 hours back, because only 10 hours ago is when she became a Jewish woman. Now, yes, it maybe happened 8 hours ago, and that should be what's called pekida l'pekida. But since we can't do this, and it's only rabbinic decree of me'es li'es, you can't do that, so you don't do pekida pekida either, and therefore the geyeris will only be metamid right now, on this day that she's megayer, only now, but not what 5 hours ago when she told them the mikvah, between, in that interim period, what she touched is not tamid. Rabbi Yisrael, he says, Harihiku Kalanash. He says, no, this woman is a regular Jewish woman. We treat her with all the halachas of a Jewish woman. And therefore, we will create a retroactive tumah for whatever this Geyeris had touched since she came out of the mikvah. Now, that's one machlekes. Moreover, is that a woman that converted, Behuda holds that after she converts, she has to wait 3 months before she gets married to a Jewish man. And the reason is because she had relations before she converted. And we have to what's called differentiate between kosher child that was born in sanctity and a non-kosher child. In other words, that depending on, we're not sure, this child, the paternity, if she's going to have marry someone the day after she converts, maybe it was someone a few days before when she was non-Jewish. Therefore, we have to know if it's from Kedusha or non-Kedusha, if it's that when she was a Jewish woman or not. So you have to wait 3 months, which then you could tell definitely where the child was born from, if it was from before she was Jewish or after she was Jewish. Rabbi Yosi matale ares ulinasa miyad. Rabbi Yosi permits someone, the woman that converted, to get engaged and get married right away, which the Gemara later on will explain the reason for that. Now, but one thing the Gemara is asking is that here we have a woman in the state of before she was a Geyeris, and that Yehuda does assume that she had Bia. Now, that seemingly contradicts what was said regarding the Shvuya, that we said that if a woman is in a non-Jewish area and she's accessible to non-Jews, like the case of Shivcha or Geyeris or Shvuya, Rabbi Yehuda seemingly said that we don't assume that the woman's not a Besul anymore. And therefore, she would get a Knas. So why over here does Yehuda say that the woman is not going to be considered as if that she didn't have Bia, and that we say that she has to wait 3 months? So Amalei the Gemara, so Rav Yosef responded to Papa Bashmo, asking this question, Geyeris Ashwi Karamas? You're posing a contradiction from the halach of Geyeris that Rabbi Yehuda told, for that, from this Brisa that's told my Geyeris to Rabbi Yehuda's halacha by a Shvuya, by a captive woman? Geyeris Lo Mintra Navsha, a woman that converted, before she converts, she's a non-Jewish woman. She's not protecting herself from not cohabiting with another man. Why shouldn't she? Shvuya mintra nafsha, but a Jewish woman that's taken in captivity, she safeguards herself. She makes sure that the non-Jewish men are not going to cohabit with her. So how does that contradict? Yeah, Rabbi Yehuda says a non-Jewish woman that converted has to wait 3 months, because they, we do assume that she had to be with the non-Jewish men. But the Shvuya, he holds b'kedusha sekaimim, that she is in her sanctity, and we don't assume that she had beer with the non-Jewish man. However, what Rav Papa Bar Shmuel continued in his questioning, he says, okay, fine, you're right. There's a difference between Geyeris and Shvuya. But Viram Shvuya Shvuya, there's a contradiction in the case of captive women, that category itself. Titania, because you learned in the Braiso, HaGeyeris V'HaShvuya V'HaShivcha, regarding a woman that converted, or that was a captive woman, or that was a maidservant, Sheniftu V'Sheniskar V'Sheneshtachru, that was redeemed, or that was converted, or that was freed, regarding all these three categories, Yiseris Abonais Kimmel Shon V'Yam Echad, over the age of 3, meaning, when they were already over 3, they were in the environment of non-Jewish men. So then, Tzrichas L'Hamtik Gimel Chadoshim D'Rabbi Yehuda. So Yehuda holds such women, whether a single Jewish woman that was a captive or a maidservant, they have to wait 3 months. Now, Rashi explains, although that we're talking about that they're just over 3 and they're katana, which cannot become pregnant, so what's the point of waiting 3 months to see the paternity, to see when she was conceived? That's a gezeira of a katana at the gedayla, when there would be the difference. But be that as it may, we see from Rabbi Yehuda that he holds that you have to wait 3 months, even by the case of Shvuya. Rabbi Yosi Mata Liaris will not be Rabbi Yosi says it's permitted to get engaged and get married right away. But one thing that's contradictory is you said a woman that was taken in captivity, she has her cheskes basula, she's b'kedusha sakai. I said if that would be the case, so why would it be the hold by a Shvuya that she has to wait 3 months after her captivity before she marries a Jewish man? What do you mean? You said for sure she did not have beer with them. So the Gemara says, Ishtik. Rabbi Yosi was silent, didn't have an answer. So Amalei, so Rabbi Yosi said to Rabbi Papa Bar Shmuel, Midish Milach Bahad, did you hear something about this? How to resolve this contradiction? So Malay, so he said to Rav Yosef, this is what Rav Sheshir said. This Braisa that says she has to wait 3 months, you're right. Generally, a Shavuya, we assume that she's a Basula, that nothing happened to her. But the case that we're told about that she has to wait 3 months is when they saw that she had Bia. They saw that she had Bia, maybe she conceived, and therefore you have to wait. But you're right, generally, Rabbi Yehuda holds, because her Shazakaima, and her Chazaka is that she didn't have Bia. Now, that the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if that's the case of the conceptualization of that Braisa, so my time is Rabbi Yasi. So what would be the reason Rabbi Yasi that says you don't have to wait if you saw that he had Bia with the captive woman? So definitely there's the option that maybe she conceived. So you would have to wait to see if her conception was from this non-Jewish man or from the Jewish man that she's marrying. So Amar Rabba, Rabba says, Ksav Rabbi Yasi holds, Isha mezana mishameshes b'meich. A woman that's having an illicit relationship, she utilizes a cloth that she inserts after she has bia, which draws out the semen, that she should not become pregnant. And therefore, Abusi holds that she doesn't have to wait. Although she had bia with this non-Jewish man, they saw she had bia with her captor, she doesn't have to wait, because she definitely used some way of avoiding conception. So the Gemara asks, fine. Bishlemi Giyers, we understand very well regarding all these cases that he argues on Rabbi Yehuda. And he says that they can go ahead and get married right away. They don't have to wait after she converts, after she's redeemed as a maidservant. So the Gemara goes through all the cases. So we very well understand Giyers when she converts that she doesn't have to wait. And the reason is, even the Daita Ligiyari, Rabbi Yasi would hold, not like Rabbi Yehuda obviously, which says you have to wait. He holds that since the woman obviously has in her, she doesn't just convert overnight, she's intending to convert, so definitely 3 months before where we can tell the difference of when she conceived, she's already safeguarding herself, and she always has prepared a maich, a type of a cloth, where even if she's going to have bia, she wants to have that she doesn't become pregnant, because she knows she's becoming Jewish. Shvuyinama, we also understand regarding the case of a captive woman, that she doesn't know where her captors are going to take her to sell her, and she's thinking maybe that they're going to take her to a Jewish man who's going to redeem her. So therefore she safeguards herself to use a maich, because again, she doesn't want to become pregnant from non-Jewish captives. The Jewish man's not going to want to marry her then. So she also has this maich prepared just in case that there's bia to take away the zera. Shevchanami, also regarding the third category of a maidservant. She hears from her master that he's going to free her. And therefore, a few months before she already knows that's coming, she's going to safeguard herself not to become pregnant from any of the other non-Jewish men. So therefore, yes, the second she gets freed, we know that for sure she didn't conceive, and she could go ahead and get engaged and get married to a Jewish man right away. But there is one type of case of the maidservant, which the Gemara asks is difficult. But a maidservant that her master went and blinded her in an eye, or knocked out her teeth, where the halacha is in the Torah that she goes free automatically. What are you going to say over there? In other words, there, where did she know that she's going to get freed, that she should safeguard herself? Oh, to say, I'm becoming Jewish, I don't want to be pregnant now from a non-Jewish man, that she'll have a meich prepared to utilize after she has tashmish. A regular non-Jewish woman, a maidservant, doesn't have a cloth prepared. Now, we said, however, if she's becoming a Giyaris, or she knows she's being freed, so she knows it's coming, so 3 months before, she would already have safeguarded herself, we could tell if she's pregnant or not. And that is because she's not going to be pregnant. But when she goes out overnight, just like that, when her eye gets blinded, she didn't know that was coming. So she didn't have a meich prepared. So if she didn't have a meich prepared, so why does Rabbi Yosi hold that she can get engaged and married to a Jewish man right away? Maybe she's pregnant from a non-Jewish man. So the Gemara proposes and says, now, and if you're going to say that anything that is automatic, in other words, something that she could not have known beforehand to be prepared, that she was going free, that there actually Rabbi Yosi agrees, then loy amr Rabbi Yosi, that maybe the Rabbi Yosi actually doesn't say that you don't have to wait, and there maybe you would have to wait 3 months, because the Rabbi Yosi would agree, yes, there she doesn't know it's coming, and therefore then she would have to wait. But the Gemara says, but take the case of a woman that was raped or that was seduced, where that happened automatically, and that is, she didn't know that that's going to happen, that she should go ahead and be prepared beforehand to have a meich. Yet, Vetanya still would learn, a woman that was violated or seduced. Yehuda holds you have to wait 3 months, as he always does, as recorded before. Rabbi Yossi permits the woman to get engaged and get married right away. Now, according to the interpretation that Rabbi gave, that the reason for Rabbi Yossi is because a woman, she's prepared, so she used a maich, but by einus mefata and by shein va'ein, there is no way of being prepared. And yet still Rabbi Yossi says that permitted to get engaged and married right away. Why? You have to differentiate who is it that she conceived from. So Elam Rabba, rather, Rabba gives a different interpretation. Says, Ksav Rabbi Yossi holds, not so much that a woman has a cloth prepared, because there are certain cases where the woman doesn't have a cloth prepared, and yet still she's permitted to get engaged and get married to someone right away. It's rather that Isha Mizana Mishapechas. A woman that's Mizana, in other words, that she has an out-of-wedlock relationship with another man, she inverts herself, ba'isamakim, that the zera, that the semen should come out and should not conceive. Now, that is something that could even be done when a woman was unprepared. For example, let's say ba'inis mefata, you don't need a meich for that. And all the women do this, kadesh leit sabra, that she should not become pregnant, meaning she only wants to become pregnant from that she had in a marital relationship. So therefore, Abisi says, all these women can get engaged and married right away because we're not concerned that she conceived, because although she had Bia and she had Tashmish, she inverts herself right away and makes sure that she's not going to conceive. But the Gemara says, V'idach, but what does Rabbi Yehuda hold? Why wouldn't he agree that the woman will invert herself and therefore it will not conceive, so why does he hold she has to wait? So he holds, Cheshin Hashem Eloi Nehafcha Yafa Yafa. He's concerned that, yes, although she inverts herself, maybe she didn't do well enough, and there was some zera that got in, and therefore maybe she conceived, and that's why you have to wait 3 months to be able to figure out who is it that she had conceived from. Now, the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah, that in contrast to the first Mishnah of this parak, who said that certain nashim besulais, that a man was ma'anis, gets a knas, or mafuta, the Mishnah said that these are cases that if a man violates them, that they do not get from him the knas of being violated by him. And the last category of the Mishnah was regarding if it's bitoy or bas bitoy, all these different cases where their chiv misses bezdin, that there the Mishnah said that he's not mesa mishalm. He cannot get killed in the courts and have to pay the penalty, which is the case in this chiv mis bezdin. Shenema, like the Mishnah brought a pasuk that says, v'lo yeh asin, that if there's no fatality, then onish yeh onish. Then there's going to be a monetary penalty for what the pasuk there is toma of the Dmei Vladis when he injured a pregnant woman. However, the inference is, as the Mishnah says, if there is an aslan, if there's a fatality, if the person's going to die in the courts for what he had done, then there's no monetary penalty that he has to pay. And therefore, by Bita and all these chiv misses bezdin, where he's mace, he's not mishal. So he doesn't have to pay the knas. Now, that the Gemara asks, on the source of the Mishnah for this halacha of what's called kimle bedirabmine, that you get the more severe punishment, which is death and not the monetary payment. But v'ha, but this halacha mahacha nafka, is it really learned out from here, from v'lo ye asin anish anish? But mahasam nafka, it's learned out from a pasuk in the Devarim that says, k'dei rish asai, that when you're giving lashes to a wicked person, you give it to him according to his wickedness. Now it doesn't say wickednesses, wickedness, which is a singular term, which the drash is, mishum risha achas at mechaibai, you could only give a liability to a person and mete out one punishment. V'yat mechaibai mishum shei rish dais, but you cannot create a liability in a person and punish him for two wicked things that he had done. So that's the source from Kimle D'Yamine. So why is our Mishnah bringing it from this other pasuk? So the Gemara explains that you need both. Chada, the halacha of our Mishnah, is b'miso mamet, when there's the death penalty and money, which that's what the pasuk is saying of lo ye'asen, regarding fatality. But chada, b'malkas mamet, the other pasuk of Kedei Rishasi, where the context there is tomat regarding giving lashes, is tomat when there's two of lashes and money. And the Gemara explains the tzricha. We needed two different halachas for kimle b'ramine, one for death and money, that you get death, and one for lashes and money, that you get lashes. Diyash mina misa mamon, had we said the halach of kimle b'ramine only by the pasuk of our Mishnah, which is when there's the death penalty and money. The reason why you only get one is mishum de'ika ibud neshama, because it's such a severe punishment where the person gets the death penalty, so then we say it's enough to get the more severe, which is losing one's life, and you have to pay the money. Avamalkas amamin, but when there's lashes of money, deleki ibn neshama emoloi, where there's no loss of life to the person, it just gets lashes, maybe then we wouldn't say it's such a severe punishment, and therefore you should get both. So therefore you have to say that too. Now, v'yesh mina malkes amamin, had we only said the one of kimli b'drabine, by that you only get lashes and not money, that's maybe b'shem d'loy chame isure. That's because it's not such a severe violation what you had done, meaning the aveira wasn't so bad, and that's why you don't get death, you only get lashes. So maybe there wasn't such a bad aveira, so you get, it's enough to give you one punishment, which is lashes, not money. Avamisa mamin, but regarding the case where you get into death penalty and a monetary violation, which obviously did something very bad, did you get in death penalty? Maybe there we would say that you actually get both. And therefore, tzricha, therefore you needed to say both. We wouldn't know one from the other. To say that both have the halacha of kim l'rabbanei, one is from asin and one is from kedei rishasi. But the Gemara asks, according to Meir that says that you actually do get lashes and you pay the money, that there's no kim l'rabbanei regarding lashes. So the question is, Tarti Lamadai. So then why do you need two pesukim? You can't say Kedei Rishasa is telling you that you only get lashes, not money, because he says you actually get both. So what do you need two pesukim for what seemingly is Misa and Mammon? So that the Gemara answers that Chada b'misu Mammon. One pasuk is telling you that when there is death and money, that you only get death and not money. Tamid Beis, V'chada b'misu Malkus. One is talking about that when there's death and lashes, that you only get the death and not lashes. So it's always with death. But one is to tell you that you don't get lashes, and the other one is telling you that you don't pay the money. As the Gemara says, and you need both. Had we had only one pasuk that tells you regarding when there's death and money, the reason why you only get death and not money is we don't give you two different types of punishments. To give you one in your body, which is death, and one in your money, but maybe in regards to when it's death and lashes, where both are punishments to his body, we would say it's one long death. We first give him 39 lashes, and then we kill him. Maybe that's one long process. Maybe that we would do. So therefore, you have to say that. V'yashmini misa malkis, and how we only said the case of that we don't say you get both by death and lashes, maybe that's because the tarti begufa levdinan. In one element, in his body, we don't do two different things, which is lashes and death. Avla miso mamad, but maybe when there's money and death, the chad beguvi v'chad b'money. These are two different retributions. One's in his body, one's in his money. Eman navad bay. Maybe you would say that you actually do both. So tzricha, that's why you need to have both pesukim, according to Rameyer, who holds that you are like a mishalim. One's for misa amamin, and one's for misa amalkas, that you only get one and not the low one. Now the Gemara continues for the rest of the amid, asking questions from seemingly similar pesukim, which say the same chiddush that we already said, and therefore the Gemara asks, regarding all these pesukim, what is the necessity for them? As the Gemara asks, first the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Bamidbar. The pasuk says, "V'leisikhu kaifer lenefesh ritzach." You should not take an atonement for the soul, for the life of a murderer. As the pasuk there concludes in Perek Lamed Hey, pasuk Lamed Alf, "Ashuhu rash shalomis," which is a wicked person for death. Kimaisumas, because surely he has to die. You cannot take an atonement for him. Now, the understanding of that pasuk sounds like is that what it's sounding like saying that if you're going to kill him, then don't penalize him for money. Don't take also a kaifer, which is type of a redemption, meaning that he has to pay for the life that he took, and to kill him, that you only kill him and you don't take money. The question is lamali, what do you need that for? We already said this halacha that you're not meisim mishalom. So that the Gemara answers the Amar Achman. Actually, the Torah is not coming to tell you that you don't do both. That we already know from the previous pesukim as we brought, that if it's asin, then you don't get anish or anish. Rather, the Torah is coming to tell you regarding the liability of death itself, that you cannot redeem yourself with money. In other words, we know you're only getting one, which is death. But the Torah is telling you, loitishkol mamayim, and they don't take money from him, v'tiftere miktala, that he should then exempt himself from death. No, the Torah is telling you, don't take kaifel nefesh ritzeach, but rather he has to be killed. Similar question, the pasuk over there says in Bamidbar, don't take an atonement from this person from having to requiring him of running to his city of refuge, which is when he kills someone b'shaykik. Now again, the Gemara here assumes that what it's saying is that you don't do two things to him. A, when someone kills b'shaykik, to require him to go into exile to the Ir Meklat, and to have to pay money. The Gemara says, lamali, what do you need that for? We already said that a person does not get the more severe punishment and the lesser one. So obviously, he's not going to have to go to Gullus and have to pay for the guy that he killed. So why is the Pasuk saying this? So the Gemara says, "Damachmana here, no, it's like we said regarding when he does it deliberately, the Torah is saying, Litishko mamayim, and they don't take money from him, v'tiftir megal. So he wants to pay you his way out of his punishment, that you can't do, you can't exempt him from the exile. He obviously you don't do both, that we learned from different Sukkim, but it's saying that you can't take money to redeem him from his exile. Now the Gemara asks about trade kori lamali, what do we need two Sukkim for, which seemingly are saying the same idea of paying his way out of his punishment. So the Gemara says, Chad b'shagib, chad b'mezid. One is talking about when he killed by mistake, which is exile, and one is when he killed deliberately, which is the death penalty. Now, b'tzrichi, we needed both psukim to say that he can't pay his way out of it, which is what's called kaifer, which is opinion. Because the yashmin, the mezid, had we said it regarding the first pasuk of when he killed deliberately, where we're saying that he can't redeem himself with money, we would have thought to say, Meshum d'chame isuri, because he, obviously this was a big violation. He deliberately, premeditated, killed a person. So yeah, they're the pasuk saying he can't pay his way out. But when he killed by mistake, where it's not such a severe violation, where he didn't mean to kill the person, and therefore he doesn't get killed, he only goes into exile. Maybe we would say that when he does it, that actually he could pay his way out of his exile. Now, had we only said that he can't redeem himself with money when he killed by mistake from getting out of going to exile, maybe that's Mishum Deleka, maybe because when he goes into exile, there's no Ibu Neshama. There's no loss of life. So therefore we say, look, you know, we're not letting you get out of this by paying you out of going to exile. You got to go to exile. Avamezid Ika Ibu Neshama, but when someone kills deliberately, where the punishment that we're meeting out to him is a loss of a Jewish life, albeit a murderer, but it's still a loss of a life, Eimaloi, maybe we would say that no, that we would take money and because we want to be able to maintain another Jewish life. Yes, I know he killed, but we can, if they're willing to take a money to pay off what he had done wrong, maybe that would be valid. And therefore, if we had needed both people to say, no, the person either has to get killed if he did a b'mezid, or going to Gullus if he did a b'shag. Now also over there, the pasuk says in Bamidbar, v'la'aretz lo yechupar, that, and to the land it will not be atoned for, l'dama sheshupach ba, for the blood that was spilled there, ki'im b'dam sha'ifchei, only with the blood of the one that spilled it. In other words, if there's a murderer, the land will not atone for it unless the murderer gets taken to justice, which he gets killed, and that is he cannot redeem himself with money. So the question is, Lamali, what do you need that pasuk for? We already know this from Leisikhu Kaifer, that one cannot pay his way out of the murder that he did. So the Gemara says, Miboyi Lelik Detanya. It's necessary for this, like we learned in the Braisa, for a different halacha. Minayin Shimnis Arfa Agola. From where do we know that if the what's called the Egla Arufa, if the decapitated calf was already decapitated, meaning when they find a dead body, a corpse on the road, and they don't know who killed him, so they measure which is the closest city, and that elders of the city have to bring this what's called Egla Arufa, this calf, and has certain procedures to it, and then they chop off its head. Now, so the Bryce says, where do we know if they really did this procedure? And then they find the murderer. From where do we know that we don't let him go free? We don't say that, oh, look, the atonement for this person's murder was already atoned for when there was doubt not knowing who had killed him, because the Egla Rufa provides an atonement for a doubtful death of how a person died. How do you know that although there was an atonement for when there was an element of doubt, now that they find out who the murderer is, that they don't exempt him and he does get killed? Like it says in the pasuk, and that's what the pasuk is coming to say, that the land will not have an atonement for the blood that was spilled in the begum, etc., where the pasuk says the murderer has to be taken to justice and he gets killed. That's what the pasuk is teaching. Again, it's not coming to teach us this halacha, we already know that he can't pay his way out of it. It's coming to teach that even if they already did the Egla Rufa and then they find he's the murderer, that he does get killed for what he had done. Another question the Gemara asks from another pasuk, this time a pasuk in Devarim. The pasuk says, "Va'ata tevar," that you should get rid of, you should purge, "Hadam ha'noki mikirbecha," the murderer of the innocent blood that was in your midst. Now, this pasuk is said right after the parsha of Egla Rufa there in Sefer Devarim. So the question is, lomali, what do we need this for? This sounds like essentially like the previous drasha that we said of la'aretz asher la'aretz la'yechupar. That is that although there was the Egla Rufa, but when you find the murderer, that you do have to kill him. That seemingly is saying the same thing. So that the Gemara says, actually, that that continuation of this pasuk of no atonement until the murderer is taken to justice after Egla Rufa is not teaching that same halacha. Actually, Miboyle Gitanya is necessary for a different halacha, which is taught in the Braisa. The Braisa says, Minayin Libam Mosim Besaif. Where do we know for all those people that get one of the four types of corporal punishment that the Jewish courts do, which is by death of the sword, Shahuminat Savr, that that's actually done from the front by the person's neck? Tamalema, that's what we learn from this pasuk. It says, Va'ata tevar hadam hanoki mikibercha, that you should purge the murderer of innocent blood amongst your midst. Now, which means to say that if someone gets killed, he gets Mises Bezin of Saif. So hukshu kol shevchei damim le'egla rufa. So we equate all those that having their blood spilled, which is by the Mises of Saif, to the parsha of Egla Rufa, which is right before that. And therefore, ma'ala halaman atzava, just like the decapitated calf gets killed from its neck, so too, those that get the Misa of Saif and Bezdin, that their blood is spilled, is also from the neck. That's what that pasuk is coming to teach. Now, however, the question would then be, if you're comparing it to Egla Rufa, but there it's killed bekaifet, with an axe, umimul orif, and moreover, it's killed from the back, from the nape, from the back of its neck. So maybe you would say, afkan bekaifet umimul orif, that here also, the person that's killed with Misa Saif, with the sword and Bezdin, should also be through with an axe in the back of his head. On that of Rav Nachman, Rabbi Ravua, the Amakra, the Pasuk says in Yikra, V'yahavta l'reacha kamaicha, that you should love your friend as yourself. Now what that means in this context is that baroloi misa yafa, if a person had to be killed, you would want it to be the easiest and swiftest it could be. So therefore that's what you have to choose for your friend, which is a swift death, which is with a sword, not with an axe. An axe is more gruesome. And moreover, that it should be done in the front of the neck, which is where the simanim are, which is where the wind and food pipes are, where the person should die quickly. That's how we know that, yes, although we know it's done by the neck, where because that's what the pasuk is being compared to Egla Rufa, but it's not with an axe and from the back, but rather with a sword and from the front, because that's a Misa Yafa. Now the Gemara continues in asking from another pasuk, this time a pasuk from Vayikra. The pasuk says, Kol Cheirim. Now, the term cheirim sounds like it's taught about a chiv mises, which is when a person is liable to be killed. As the pasuk says, for example, in Shemos Chabez, Seveach lalehim, that whoever slaughters to idols, yacharim, will be killed. So the pasuk is saying, kol cheirim, anyone that has to be killed, asher yacharim in the odin, that has to be killed from man, lo yipada, he can't be redeemed. So the question is, lamali, that seeming is the same halacha, that if you're getting killed, you can't buy your way out. So the Gemara says, Miboyle Likadetanya. Actually, it's necessary for the following halacha taught in this Braisa. The Braisa says, Minayin li yoitze laharik. How do we know regarding someone that's being taken out to be killed? Vamar echad, and someone says, Orkoi olai. This person's value, his erich, is upon me. I have to give that to Hekdush. Now, although that the person's what's called erich, his value in Erich terms is not what's called damim, which is his monetary value. Rather, it's actually based on what it says in the Torah according to the years of the person. So now he's still alive. So although based on his monetary value, he has no value because he's going to be killed. But the fact that he's still living and breathing, he has what the Torah says in Erich, a Torah value, which goes a certain amount of shkolim that you have to give. But minayin shlo amakulum, how do we know that actually this Braisa says that although he's still living, that it's as if the person who said this person's erich is on him is as if he said nothing, and that he does not have to give any money to Hekdush? Shnema, because this is what the pasuk is teaching, kol cheirim asher yachrim in the adam. Now, as Rashi explains, now the drush of the Braisa is interpreting cheirim as a term of Hekdush, where we find this cheirim Hekdush, cheirim kahanim, where it's a term of being makdish something. So the pasuk is saying that anything that a person is makdish from a person, lo yipada, that then the person that's going to be yachrim and odin, that's going to be killed, if you're doing a cheirim of hekdish on him, that then you don't have to redeem it. In other words, you don't have to pay for such a person. That's what the pasuk is coming to teach. And that's a special gezer sakasa. Now, yochel af koidim shenigma dinikin, you would think the same thing would apply even before the person's court case was concluded, which is called the gemar din, that even during the procedures of him being decided of the corporal punishment, that the person who said arkalai would not have to pay. Tamaloyma, that's what the pasuk teaches, no, minha adam. It says whoever's going to be killed from man, v'loy kol adam, and not every man. In other words, if his court case wasn't decided yet, wasn't concluded, then even though it's almost a foregone that he's going to be decided to be killed, still in that case, if he said Arko Lai, then actually from the pasuk you would still have to give his Eir. Now, the Gemara asks, however, that resolution of the pasuk works good according to other opinions, according to the Tanakhama. But Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, the Amar Nerach, that he says that actually there is a value for a person, even though he already has a Gemara Din, and he's being taken out to be killed. And the reason is, he says, B'mnei Shadam of Ketsuvin, because his value is not based on if he's going to be, what type of monetary value he has. Rather, it's set in the Torah according to the years of a person. And you can't compare it to when someone says about someone that's about to be killed that his dam of is on me, his value, because this person is a dead man, he has no value. But Erech he has, so then the question returns, so hai kol chayim my overlay, what does he do with that pasuk? It can't be teaching that you can't pay your way out of death, that we know from other pasukim. And it's not teaching that if someone says Arka Lai regarding a person that's being taken out to be killed, that he doesn't have to, lo yipad, he doesn't have to pay, because he holds he actually do have to pay. So the Gemara says, mi boyle like the Tanya. He needs it for a different halacha, which is taught in the following brisa. Rabbi Shmuel ben Noy Shabirchim ben Bereka Omer, he says, Lafisha mitzinu l'mamasa midei shemayim, that since we find by those that are killed by the hands of heaven, for example, let's say someone that his ox killed a person, where the pasuk says, you must, the owner has to be killed. Now, as Rashi brings from the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin of Tezvavim Abeis, that doesn't mean that he gets Mises Besnit, doesn't get killed in the courts. And the reason is because the pasuk says, mais yumas hamaka, that the one who kills someone else, he gets killed because Ritzeach, who? He's a murderer. So the Gemara there expounds and says, only for a person's own murdering someone else does he get killed. But you can't kill him for his ox murdering someone else. So therefore, that yumas is tomah by the hands of heaven. Now, so though the pasuk says that someone that his ox gores and kills someone else, that the owner has to get killed by the hand of heaven, but still we find shenayis nemamun umeskapalahen, that they could pay their way out of it, that he could give money and be atoned. Shenem, like says the pasuk in Shemayis. The pasuk says, im kofer yushas alav, that if an atonement was placed upon this person, so the pasuk there says, v'nosn pidi nafshin, that he gives a redemption for his soul, he could pay his way out of it. So therefore, yochalav b'dei adam kein, you would think the same thing would apply when it's even that he should be, that he's being killed, not b'dei shemayim, but even by the courts, that he could redeem himself with money. Tamalem, that's what the pasuk teaches, and this is what Rebbe Chananya ben Yekava would use the pasuk for. It says, cherim min ha'adam, that a person that is obligated in cherim, meaning to be killed, lo yipada, he cannot be redeemed. And that's why the pasuk is necessary, because we find when there are elements you could pay your way out of death, b'dei shemayim, so we need a pasuk to tell you that b'dei adam, you cannot. Now the brisa continues, v'einli ela mises chamuris. Now I would only know that applies to stringent types of deaths, shlei nitna shigagasin l'kapar, that it's such a severe type of a death penalty, that when you do it by mistake, which you don't get the death, that you can't even atone for what you had done wrong. As Rashi explains, since the pasuk doesn't specify that this lo yipada doesn't apply to all mises, so it would be enough that this stringency of not being able to pay your way out of it, that you can't save yourself with your money, would only be on stringent types of deaths, which are bidei adam. Now, what would case like that be? So Rashi says, for example, if someone, let's say, makes a wound in his father, or if he kidnaps a Jewish person, where there doesn't say any atonement in the Torah for something that if he does it by mistake. The reason being is because it doesn't say in the Torah when you do it deliberately that you get karas. Now, the only time that you get that you could have an atonement for when you do it b'shogeg, which is to bring a karma chatas, is if you get cursed when you do it bezadim. But the Torah there doesn't say regarding, let's say, kidnapping a Jewish person or inflicting a wound on the father that you get cursed. Hence, there's no korban chatas when you do it b'shogeg. So that's a pretty severe thing, that there's no atonement when you do it b'shogeg. So maybe over there is where the Torah is telling you that lo yipada, you can't pay your way out of it. But mises kalos, but regarding more lenient types of death penalties, which is essentially every type of death penalty, which if you did this violation without being warned beforehand when you did it deliberately, where then the punishment is karis, where it's then you're killed by the hands of heaven, and the children die young, shenitna shigagasin lekapar, where there, if it's done by mistake, there's three levels. When you do it deliberately with a warning, that's techiv mises bezin. Then is when you did it deliberately without a warning, that's karis. Then there is an atonement, since you're getting karis bezadin, when you do it b'shagi, then there's the atonement of a karma chatas, for example, avodah zarah, Shabbos, gila rais, or Rashi brings an example, let's say, by even a murderer, where there's an atonement when he does it by mistake, that of going into exile, minayin, where would we know in those cases too that you cannot redeem yourself? Because maybe it's only talking about the more severe deaths, penalties of bidei adam in the courts where you don't have an atonement when you do it by mistake. But when you do, which is not so severe, then maybe there you could pay your way out of it. On that, the Brisa says, tamaloyma kol chayrim. That's what it says, any person that has to be killed. Bidei adam, that's what the pasuk says, leipada. Although we find by bidei shemayim, let's say for example, when a person's ox gores and kills someone, that then the owner could pay his way out of it. But by Mises Bezdin, kol chayrim, he cannot pay his way out of it. And that's what the pasuk is necessary for, according to Reb Chananya ben Akavya.